argument is Sahi, is it? Versus Gonzalez. Mr. Gania.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Edwin Gania on behalf of the petitioner, Navid Zahi. May it please the Court. The petitioner seeks asylum on account of his religion. That is, as a member of the Ahmadiyya movement in Islam, which is one of approximately 70 sects of Islam, he has a well-founded fear of persecution if forced to return to his native country of Pakistan. The Ahmadiyya sect was founded in the late 19th century by Mirza Ghulam Ahmed, whom his followers believed was a successor prophet to Muhammad. This belief is highly offensive to ordinary Muslims who consider Muhammad to be the final prophet and regard Ahmadis as heretics who are spreading a poison into the traditional beliefs of Islam. The Ahmadiyya sect is otherwise identical to ordinary Muslim faiths and practices. If there is another difference, it would be that the Ahmadiyya sect is particularly peace-loving and nonviolent. They're regarded as the Quakers of the Islam faith. Ahmadiyyas constitute approximately 3% of the population of Pakistan. Now, the practice of petitioner's faith is outlawed and criminalized by various statutes and constitutional amendments. Initially, in 1974, a constitutional amendment was enacted stating that Ahmadis are non-Muslims. And it was this enactment that provided the cover of state sanction for threats and intimidation of the Ahmadiyya community. This became the second amendment to the Constitution of Pakistan.
That puzzles me.
Oh, yes.
And Pakistan obviously views Christians as non-Muslims as well.
Yes.
And the same with Jews. But Christianity and Judaism are practiced openly in Pakistan, and I gather Ahmadis are allowed to practice in Pakistan as well.
Well,
they're just not called Muslims. For them to call themselves Muslims is viewed as blasphemy by the Pakistani government. But it's not clear why that's a form of persecution.
Well, as I'm about to get to, there are certain laws which specifically state that the practice of the Ahmadiyya faith is illegal. And also, we would say that Christians are also severely persecuted. There's many incidences of beatings and jailings of Christians. We would say that they have very similar problems to the Ahmadis. But
there is a difference, right? Because although it actually favors you, this is an Islamic heresy, right?
Yes.
Heretics are treated worse than pagans, right? So Jews and Christians are regarded as pagans.
Jews and Christians are regarded as people of the book. Hindus are pagans.
Well, they're certainly not.
Difference.
But they're
big
not heretics. They're not regarded as heretics.
Yes, that additional law would apply uniquely to the Ahmadiyya community.
Infidels is the word.
Infidels. Yes, Christian. Right.
Well, the law that provides the most serious violations for Ahmadis is Ordinance 20, which was enacted in 1985.
So what is it? What is the persecution besides they're not allowed to call themselves Muslims? What else?
Well, every aspect of their religious practice.
Are they allowed to have mosques?
They cannot refer to their places of worship as mosques, but they can.
Is it just nomenclature? Is it just like a? Is it like a trademark? Right. Trademark dispute.
Basically, these laws are just used to intimidate Ahmadis and to eventually to drive them out of the country.
But what are the laws besides about naming?
Well, they cannot refer to the Prophet Muhammad.
I know, that's the names. That's the names, okay?
Oh, okay. Well, the practice of the religion is considered per se blasphemous on account of the fact that their practices do refer to the Prophet Muhammad and do mimic the other Islamic.
Yes, but now what forms does the persecution take? Supposing they comply with the naming rules, then are they left alone, or is there something done to them?
Well, all of these laws really indicate this incredible bias against and hatred of this sect.
Yeah, but bias is not persecution, right?
No.
Making
but
that
the,
distinction.
The threats, but the record is replete with incidents of violence against Ahmadis.
Let's put it a different way. Were the Mormons in Illinois victims of persecution or of private violence? It looks like the Ahmadis have a lot in common with the Mormons, actually, and not simply latter-day prophets. Their solution to the problem of private violence on religious grounds has been to move to a place, to other places where they would constitute a majority. That's what the State Department report says has happened. There are two cities in Pakistan where Ahmadis are the majority, and that's principally where they've congregated. Solve their problem that way.
Well, their problem isn't solved there. Even in those cities, there are incidents of violence.
And yes, well, I assume that after Brigham Young moved to Utah, there were still incidents of private violence in Illinois against the Mormons. That's why they left Illinois. Was that persecution, or was it, well, private violence?
Well, if it's supported by the state, then it certainly would be persecution, as contemplated by the immigration statutes. And that's the point here. I mean, all these laws and the Ordinance 20, which made most practices of the Ahmadiyya faith illegal, was also incorporated into the Constitution as the Eighth Amendment. And then there was enactment of the blasphemy laws in 1986, which, as I said, Ahmadis come in violation of by the mere practice of their religion. And there are very severe punishments meted out to those that violate the blasphemy laws.
And what concretely is the blasphemy?
Well, anyone
referring to yourself as, or
well,
your faith as Islam.
Somebody who during the course of the practice of religion improperly refers to the Prophet Muhammad, who refers to the Quran improperly. Basically, any issue with regards to the practice of their religion. So it's a very severe restriction. And the conditions are generally very...
We have twice said that Ahmadis, that fact, that Pakistan deems Ahmadis heretical, the Ahmadi sect heretical, is not sufficient for asylum. Is there any reason to think that conditions have become worse for Ahmadis in Pakistan since those two decisions?
Yes, I would think so. For example, in 2002, in the elections of Pakistan, there was an alliance of extremist religious parties that now called the MMA that constitute 40% of the National Assembly. And that party also won a majority in two of the four provinces of Pakistan. And the people that make up these parties are those that are the actual persecutors, those that actually carry out the violence on the streets. So now they, in effect, have the color of government approval.
If one reads the State Department reports for this period, which I've done, I mean, the series of State Department reports, one gets no sense that conditions have deteriorated for the Ahmadis. Not very pleasant to be viewed as heretical.
Well,
But Islam doesn't appear to have stooped nearly to the depths of the Inquisition.
Well, still, we would say that there is a pattern and practice of persecution against this group. And that as
that,
such...
That I understand, but there isn't a single appellate court in the country that has held that being an Ahmadi is itself sufficient for asylum in the United States.
No,
not
we,
one.
Yeah,
we
we're not... I'm sorry. We're not saying
right?
that.
So you would have to be saying that things have gotten markedly worse recently somehow, so that this sequence of precedents doesn't really count. And that's, you know, I have a hard time seeing that.
But we're saying that this particular petitioner, by nature of his particular and unique profile, against the country conditions that exist, should be granted asylum. He was someone, for example, that was targeted and was beaten on several occasions. His brother was beaten and forced to leave Pakistan and seek asylum in Canada. He was an active member formed as a secretary in his local area for 4 years. So it wouldn't be any Ahmadi, but one who practices openly, one who holds himself out as a member of his faith, would be eligible for asylum. I see my time is up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Gagne. Mr. Maldonado?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Mark Maldonado, and I represent the respondent, Attorney General Roberto Gonzalez. As this Court found in Ahmad v. INS in 1999, an applicant for asylum must show more than mere membership in a group that may be subject to some level of persecution.
Why? I don't understand that.
It's not what the regulation says.
Suppose you were a Jew in Germany in, 1939. Would you have to show that you were being treated worse than the other Jews by the Nazi regime?
Well, Your Honor, I think in that case things would be different. As Your Honor has already pointed out, there's been no court that has stated that the situation for Ahmadis...
There are separate questions. One question, the one with which you opened, is that in order to get asylum under that regulation, you have to show that you are somehow worse than the norm for your group. That can't possibly be the right way to read the regulation, not only for Judge Posner's reason. The whole purpose of the regulation is to give asylum to people who are the normal members of a group that is always persecuted. Right? So the second question, if you abandon this silliness that pervades your brief, is whether the Ahmadis, whether every Ahmadi who reaches the United States is entitled to asylum. And that answer is either yes or no.
Your Honor, government.
I would presume that depends on current conditions in Pakistan.
Yes, Your Honor, and the government contends the answer would be no.
Well, but if you look at the country report for 2004, they're not allowed to recite Islamic prayers, holding gatherings, whatever that means. And apparently it's very difficult for them to get a mosque built. And the report talks about this incident where their mosque was given back to the police or something. So... isn't that persecution, religious persecution? Well, what more do you need?
Your Honor, that's a very good question. Obviously, the statements you've just went over, those are obviously very unpleasant and very unfortunate. Does it rise to the level of persecution? Your Honor, I can name some of the cases that the Seventh Circuit has stated. When reviewing past persecution claims for asylum, this court has called for compelling...
Well, what if you had a law which said Unitarians can't recite Christian, can't sing Christian songs because they're not real Christians? Would that would not be persecution?
Yeah, are you talking about this country?
Yes.
It's a very tough question to answer, Your Honor. All I can do is go over some of the cases and some of the decisions that this court has made.
Well, what if you had a strong Protestant government here and it said Catholics can't call themselves Christians? That's not persecution?
Your Honor, I do not know, and I can't answer that question.
Well, at least you're not defending the result, right? since you have no position on whether this is persecution.
No, Your Honor. According to Seventh Circuit, when reviewing past cases, claims for asylum, this court has called for compelling reasons, demonstrated compelling reasons in order for asylum. Consistent with that intent, this court...
Why are you referring to the Seventh Circuit? The position of the agency is that it's entitled to make a reasoned decision. Is there some case where the board has taken up the question in general about whether the treatment of Ahmadis in Pakistan counts as, as generic persecution under this regulation?
No, Your Honor.
Isn't that a little strange?
Perhaps, Your Honor, I don't know.
See, what exactly is the reasoning or the holding or of the immigration judge? But I'm looking at page 10 of his opinion today. Judge Vinicor. So what it says is, respondent presented nothing. This is about well-founded fear of future persecution. Respondent presented nothing beyond the general risk and danger affecting all members of the Ahmadi community. Well, that sounds like this position that you have to be persecuted more than your other people in your group. So.
Your Honor, I believe the immigration judge...
And then he says, well, this court fully recognized that Ahmadis are discriminated against and face harassment because of their religious beliefs. I don't find that this fact, etc., singles the respondent out. And then he says, this is really strange, doesn't claim that he was falsely accused of violating the blasphemy laws of Pakistan.
I believe that was in reference, Your Honor, to the petitioner speaking.
Respondent's fear is really is based solely upon the practice of his religion. Well, and yeah. Then he says, well, the government of Pakistan undertook a major effort to curb religious extremism and address the intimidation of religious minorities. But these laws against the Ahmadis, you know, reciting Islamic prayers, That's part of the law of Pakistan, isn't it? That's not just some vigilantism.
We're talking about Ordinance 20, Your Honor. It is part of the law in Pakistan, and I believe that as far back as 2001, that the government of Pakistan has been trying to crack down on some of the extremism.
But they're not trying. But they haven't removed these laws, right?
No, Your Honor.
Well, if you have a law. I mean, suppose you had this law which said that Catholics can't call themselves Christians. And then the Protestants go around beating up Catholics, and the government decides, well, we're not going to permit that. And we have the law, we'll enforce the law, but we're not going to permit private violence. Then would you conclude that the Catholics weren't being persecuted?
Your Honor, it's not for me to decide.
Well, you're supposed to have a position, right? I mean,
or at least your client is supposed to have a position.
Yeah. We're trying to find out what does the Immigration Service think constitutes religious persecution. Have they ever said this is what religious persecution is?
No,
the
Your Honor.
The difference between religious discrimination, religious persecution.
Is the answer no, or is it just I don't know?
Your Honor, the answer is no.
The answer is no. They have never issued an opinion on behalf of the board or the Attorney General personally discussing what religious persecution is?
That is my understanding.
They issue this regulation saying if there's a pattern or practice of persecution, you're entitled to asylum, but we're not going to tell you what that is. Does that sound responsible?
Your Honor, I'll leave that decision up to you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Balanon.
Thank
so,
you,
Mr. Ghania, do you have anything further? No? Okay. Okay, last case for argument, United States versus